Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Amos 8. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to only want what is best, to want to know you, to want a relationship with you. Please continue to feed us on your word, draw us closer to you. Amen. Amos 8. My Lord Yahweh showed me this, and there was a basket of summer fruit. And he said, "What do you see, Amos?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." And Yahweh said to me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them again. And the songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares my Lord Yahweh. The corpses are numerous. He throws them in every place. Be quiet. Hear this, those who trample on the poor and who annihilate the afflicted of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over, so that we can sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we can open the grain bins, that we can make the ephah small and make the shekel large and can practice deceit with a set of scales of deceit. Then we can buy the powerless with silver and the poor for the sake of a pair of sandals, and we can sell the waste of the grain.' Yahweh has sworn by the pride of Jacob, 'Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. On account of this, will not the land tremble, and will not every living thing in it mourn? And all of it will rise like the Nile, and it will be tossed about and subside like the Nile of Egypt. And then, in that day, declares my Lord Yahweh, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the land on a day of light. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all of your songs into lament. And I will put sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head, and I will make it like the mourning for an only child, and its end like a bitter day. Look, the days are coming, declares my Lord Yahweh, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine for bread, and not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh. And they will wander from sea to sea, and from the north and to the east they will roam about to seek the word of Yahweh, but they will not find it. In that day the beautiful young women and the young men will faint because of thirst. These are those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, 'By the life of your gods, O Dan,' and 'By the life of the way of Beersheba.' They will fall, and they will not rise again." Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. In chapter 7, God started showing Amos some visions. And Amos called God, "My Lord Yahweh." He saw a locust invasion, and then a fire, as judgments on Israel. But he begged God not to send those things that would totally destroy Israel. So then finally God showed him a vision of God beside a wall with a plumb line, something to check and see if it's straight and true. And he's checking Israel, I think. And of course, they're not straight. They're going to be judged. We also had a story about a priest of Bethel, so where one of the golden calves was, telling Amos to leave and suggesting that Amos was just prophesying for money. But Amos said he's prophesying because God told him to. Professionally, he just took care of figs and sheep. Now, this chapter returns to the visions, and again Amos says, "My Lord Yahweh." The vision is a basket of summer fruit, and Yahweh asks Amos what he sees. So he says, "A basket of summer fruit." And then Yahweh says, "The end has come." In English, this doesn't make much sense. What does a basket of summer fruit have to do with the end coming? Well, it's a play on words in Hebrew. The word for end sounds like the word for summer fruit. How do you show a vision of the end? Well, God shows a vision of a word that sounds like the end. Yahweh goes on to describe what the end will be like. Wailing, lots of corpses, and then quiet. Then he talks about why this end is coming. The people can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so they can get back to business, the business of cheating people. They would use mislabeled weights to give people less and charge them more. They'd sell worthless chaff as grain, and they would try to somehow legally take advantage of the poor. God says he will not forget these things that they have done. They will be judged, just like the Nile rising. The Nile would rise and flood every year, so it was a certain thing. Also, a flood can be a scary thing. God says he will make things dark for Israel. Their feasts will turn to sadness. And then God will send a famine on the land, a famine for the words of Yahweh. They don't seem to want to listen to Yahweh, so he will not give his words to them, and they will go everywhere searching for them. But they will not find them, because they are going after idols. We know about the idol at Dan. We don't know what idol worship was at Beersheba. However, there was an old saying, from Dan to Beersheba, meaning the whole extent of the land. So this is perhaps talking about how they would be going from one end of the land to the other looking for the word of Yahweh. But since they've set up idols in all those places, they will not find the true God. And now for a deeper dive. This chapter is scary. It should be, if we understand it. That God might just give us what we look for and take away from us what we ignore. And also, that God remembers. God knows everything we have done. And God knows what we really want. So, if we're sitting in a worship service some Sunday, just wishing it were over so we could get back to what we really want, which has nothing to do with God, God knows that. And one day, God might just give us that lack of his word. Right now, in the United States, the Bible is available everywhere. You can download free Bible apps on your phone. You can buy Bibles for very little money. There are many Bible study helps available for any price, starting at zero and going up to thousands of dollars. There are videos on DVD and internet streaming about every book of the Bible. And yes, there are podcasts about the Bible. And if we don't want it, one day God could take all of these things away. It could happen so fast. In some countries of the world today, you can go to jail or be killed for having a Bible. And that could happen here faster than we could imagine if God decides that we don't really want it. And one day, we will stand before the judgment seat of God. Do we really want to spend an eternity with God? God isn't going to force anyone to be with him who doesn't want to be there. But obviously, you are listening to a Bible podcast right now. I'm guessing no one is forcing you to listen to this. So it seems like you do want to spend eternity with God. And that's great. I think God is pleased with your choice. Otherwise, I wouldn't have recorded this to talk about it. But I don't see myself as having arrived and being perfectly aligned with God and only wanting him at this point. It's a process of getting rid of the desire for the things of this world. This is a scary chapter, but we can ask God for help in desiring what is right. And I think he will honor that small desire and work with us to make it our great desire. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.